Hello and God bless you. Please turn with me to the letter of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 1. In our previous session, we talked briefly about the culture and geographic setting of Colossae. We read most of the first chapter as an introduction to this important little letter. I shared with you a one-sentence, short summary of this book. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The reality of Christ in us is the doorway into understanding who, what, and where we are as God's children. Many times, Colossians is passed over and given little scrutiny because of its small size and the similarities to Ephesians. But there are indispensable truths in this little letter that must be understood to know the will of God for our lives. There is a distinct difference in emphasis in Colossians compared to Ephesians. Ephesians is about the body of Christ, whereas the letter of Colossians is about the head of the body. Christ is the head, and we are in Him. I can dream of no better place to find myself. In verse 1, the phrase, by the will of God, is used by Paul. Paul had no doubt what the will of God was for his life. God had chosen him, rescued him from himself and his hell-bent religious quest. His mindset and life changed because he knew what God had done for him and in him. Then he was sent with a specific message to and for all that God had called and that would believe. The multitudes of unbelievers that opposed him and hindered him did not prevent him from doing what God sent him to do. We, yes, you and I, have been chosen, called, made able, that is empowered, and sent with a specific message by the will of God. Unfortunately, most Christians have no clue what the will of God is for their lives. It's rare to get a ready and sure answer when you ask, so, what is God's will for your life? Most will look at their shoes and shrug and mumble. In fact, many of the denominations teach that we cannot know God's will for our lives, and we must wander through life waiting for the next shoe to drop. Every disaster is thought to be an act of God designed for their suffering. Sadly, many Christians have been born of God's seed and then herded through a meaningless maze of works and worries while being fed stale religious lies. But God has made known His will to us. Every believer can and should know what God's will is for their lives. The concept that we have Christ in us is the central truth of the gospel for our times as it was given to Paul. As we begin to understand the mystery, as Paul calls it, the greatness of what God has done for us begins to gel. In this session, I would like to begin looking at some of the key words and concepts in the first chapter. To refresh our memories, let's read starting at verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful to notice here that this letter is written to the saints, or the holy ones. It is written to believers. It is not written to unbelievers. An unbeliever can memorize the words and conjugate the sentences, but to truly receive the things of God requires spiritual discernment. It is written to those of us who have Christ in us and therefore have the one and only hope of glory. Paul continues and says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." The gospel bringeth forth fruit. God said that His word does not come back void. His word always works. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. No shield can stop it. Verse 7. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. From the very day that Paul heard about the believers in Colossae, he began to pray a specific prayer for them. We must understand that this letter was designed to be passed to other house churches, and so this prayer is for every believer until Christ returns to gather His saints. It says that Paul began to pray and desire. The Greek word prosyoklomai is translated pray, and it means to will towards God. To will towards God is to desire towards God. Let's break this down and look at what Paul desires and wills toward God for us. The phrase, "ye might be filled with," is in the aorist passive, second person plural, and should be read as, "ye may be being filled full with the knowledge of His will." This verse does not deal with our filling with the Spirit of Christ, but instead is talking about the renewed mind. We should be continually being filled with the knowledge of His will. The next word is in, that's I-N. This little word points to where the filling should come from, which is all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The word wisdom is the Greek sophie, which is five senses wisdom. Wisdom is a combination of knowledge and sound judgment. This is the wisdom we gain from study of the Word of God, reading, sciences, history, experience, and all we can learn from a human standpoint. I seem to remember a verse that tells us to study. I believe it was talking about rightly dividing the word. This is all five senses oriented. But that's not all. All of the five senses knowledge in the world cannot make the necessary connections to rightly divide the word and renew your mind. Both are impossible without the next ingredient pointed out in verse 9. This is the factor that allows us to spiritually discern the things of God. This is how we can just know that we know in spite of what the world says and what is going on around us. In the King James, the words are spiritual understanding. The Greek word literally means non-carnal, that is, not of the flesh, not of the five senses. Yeah, we're talking about revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits, something that all believers receive, whether they realize it or not. I'll say that again. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, revelation from God, is something that all believers receive, whether they realize it or not. Sadly, many Christians who are caught in the maze of religious domination have been convinced that they are not holy enough to hear from God. My prayer for each and every Christian is to be being continually filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. From hence comes the deep and unshakable realization of our freedom in Christ. So it was Paul's desire, remember verse 1, according to the will of God. This is a message by the messenger, by the will of God. This prayer is according to the will of God for you and for me. So it was Paul's desire that we be continually being filled with the knowledge of God's will in both all the five senses can muster from the Bible and our experience, together with the energized revelation that confirms and manifests the ministry of Christ in us. Religious systems teach that we have to walk according to their morality and taboo codes to become worthy of God. But God's plan is just the opposite. He has called us, redeemed us, sanctified us, justified us, and empowered us so that we can walk in an appropriate manner. Our walk as a believer is a result of who we are as sons and daughters of God, not a way to weasel our way into the back door as a servant. Do you not remember the story Jesus told of the forgiving Father who rejoiced when His Son returned? Verse 10, that you might walk worthy, that is appropriately, of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The walk of a believer bears pleasing fruit because the walk of a believer is the walk of Christ in us manifesting. The manifestations of the indwelling Spirit of Christ are the branches that the fruit of the Spirit grow on. It's not our fleshly acts or our puny power of the flesh that produces anything godly. It is Christ in us, our only hope of glory. It is His strength, His might, His glory, and His life being lived through us. That you might walk worthy, that is appropriately, of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. God has made us able to walk appropriately. We walk enabled by God with miraculous power according to His glorious dominion, authority, and strength. As Ephesians 2:9 so wonderfully simply states, it's not of works, lest any should boast. It is His power, His authority, that He has enabled us with. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Another way to say it is, we have been enabled with His ability according to His authority. We are in Christ. We are enabled because He is able. The thought continues in the next verse, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, that is, enabled, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Here in the King James it says, the Father has made us meet, M-E-E-T. The word meet comes from the Greek word hikanao, which means to make qualified or to enable. Do you see the point being repeated over and over again here? We have been enabled, not of ourselves, but of His authority and power. We have Christ in us, and we are in Christ. There is nothing more enabling or qualifying than that. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. It is the Father that has delivered us. Literally, He rescued us and carried us away from Satan's grip and enabled us in the freedom and power of Christ. It's interesting that this particular Greek word for translated is used here. The word methistano is the word that is used in the Septuagint to describe the carrying away or the forced relocation of large groups of people such as captured armies or the Jews into captivity. The mind picture being painted here is of a people in captivity and under Satan's heavy hand of slavery. God has rescued us out of the dungeons and pits of hell and miraculously transported us into the realm of Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. God has paid our ransom in full. Apolutrosis, the Greek word for redemption, means to pay the ransom in full. It was not a down payment with a balloon note, but full payment. It wasn't an, oh, by the way, last-minute decision on God's part. Ephesians chapter 1 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Our ransom, our rescue, our redemption was accomplished in Christ and determined before even the world was spun into orbit, because God, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, in Christ, who is the image, this is verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now the King James word fullness comes from the Greek word pleroma, which means the filling or that which fills. Let me illustrate what the word is saying here with the use of the word pleroma by asking you this question. What is it that makes a cherry pie a cherry pie? What distinguishes it from any other type of pie? A cherry pie from the outside looks pretty much like any other type of pie, but when you cut into the pie, you find out what kind it is. As a boy, I once had the wonderful experience of visiting my grandmother's house on Thanksgiving. She was a wonderful cook. When we walked into the house, the aroma of pies filled the place. I ran to the kitchen to look at the pies. Oh, there they were, all lined up on the cabinet, still warm, the crusts mounded up out above the pans. What kind are they? I asked my grandmother. Is there a cherry pie? She smiled and said, of course I made you a cherry pie. I could hardly contain myself, but I had to wait until after dinner to taste that pie. Which one is cherry? I asked. She said, you won't know till I cut it. They all look the same. The type of pie is, of course, determined by what kind of filling it is filled with. A pie filled with apples just can't be a cherry pie, no matter how hard it works at it. If you remember Acts chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the word used there for filled is pletho, which is a form of plerao. It is a word that describes the act of filling. But here in verse 19, the word fullness is pleroma, which describes the filling. In Christ, all the fullness or filling of God dwells. Everything that God has to fill with dwells in Christ. In Christ, God is the filling. In us, Christ is the filling. Christ is in us. All of God's filling is in Christ, and He is in us. We are in Christ. Now that is some cherry pie. We have been filled with all the filling. What more could you possibly want? Yes, you and I, have been chosen, called, made able, that is, empowered, and sent with a specific message by the will of God. Our ministry is the reconciliation of God and man. Our ministry is to set others free from the cruel chains of religious lies. Just as Jesus came to seek and to save, our mission is to allow Christ to seek and to save through us. It is Christ in us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His ministry has not changed. His ministry is our ministry. We live in an evil, sick, and dying world. Everywhere around us is a sea of drowning people. The lost masses of humanity wash like waves around us. Miserable religious captives bob, clinging to flotsam in the waves. We are a life raft, a beacon, a source of hope, because we have Christ in us. Should we not look past our flesh and walk in Christ? Should we not allow Christ to live unbridled through us?